Not all podcasters are created equal. This is the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network. Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast. I'm Marla Sean-Susser here in the studio with Tony Pratt.
How you doing, Marla?
Awesome. It's been a very full week, but
a lot
of exciting stuff going on. Hey, we're doing something a little bit different today. Just a full disclosure for our podcast listeners is we're also on Facebook Live, giving folks a chance to see a little behind the scenes what it's like to record in the studio.
Oh, I don't know if people really want to see what goes on behind the scenes.
But we have so much fun in here.
Oh, we do.
And we talk about it to so many people, so I thought it would be fun for folks to see for a few minutes what it's like here in the studio.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, we always joke, you know, cut-ins and all this of the eventually we'll have to put a camera in just to see all the deleted scenes and everything, but
you're saying do a Facebook Live for the whole thing?
No. We'd break Facebook. They don't want to see all this.
Yeah, well, we do have fun in here, so it's a wonderful thing. Hey, I want to introduce our guest, which is Mike Calignon. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for joining us.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you're with the Green Builder Coalition. I always pause there.
It's okay.
Tell
you
us
have
a little
to forgive
more.
Her. It's been a lot of podcasts the last
week.
Few days.
are the capstone to an amazing week.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
You're hour number 10 of recording. Okay.
Awesome. Let's get loopy.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Green Builder Coalition.
Gotcha. So I am the executive director of the Green Builder Coalition. Ron Jones and I founded it back in 2010. It's a national nonprofit membership organization for green building professionals. And I happen to reside here in the St. Louis area. And,
lucky us.
Yeah. Marla and I, we got a chance to meet about 4-5 years ago at the very first Sustainable Disaster Recovery Conference. And
I'm so impressed you remember that.
Well, it was a very unique conference.
It was an awesome conference. I learned so much at that conference.
Yeah. It's sad that it went away. I hope that they bring it back. It certainly had its place in the industry. It was focused on something that really doesn't get a lot of attention, unfortunately. So
do you remember what really kind of brought that conference into creation?
No, but I do remember something trivial about the conference.
And that is?
You go ahead.
No, I want to hear your trivia.
Well, okay. So do you remember kind of the big speaker after all the sessions were done was the guy from AccuWeather?
Yep.
And he was showing the live radar of Superstorm Sandy hitting the New York area. And we were watching it on radar as it
was happening.
Oh, that's cool.
While we are at a Sustainable Disaster Recovery Conference, which came into being after Greensburg, Kansas, was basically decimated with an EF5 tornado about 10 or 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah, and all of everything but two buildings
in downtown
were leveled.
Yeah. So Daniel Wallach and Catherine, I cannot remember her last name. Hart, I think.
I think it was Catherine
But
Hart,
they started an organization working with the leaders of Greensburg to formulate what was then known as Greenstown. Greenstown.
Yeah.
And they actually helped to formulate a plan to rebuild that city green. And they educated homeowners on green home building techniques and a lot of cool things. But they went on to expand that organization after Hurricane Sandy, after the tornado in Joplin. There's an organization in Moore, Oklahoma, after the EF5 tornado swept through there. Their philosophy was, if you've got a clean slate to start with.
Yeah, why not?
And unfortunately, it's through a disaster. Why not do it in a way that's going to outlast or have a much better chance of outlasting another disaster should it happen? They've done some really cool work. And I know they've evolved on to doing some other organizations and some other things, but it was impressive. I agree with you.
And I was fortunate, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. I was fortunate enough to go to Greensburg.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was
there.
Did
you stay in one of the...
We had to stay in
those five eco houses or whatever they were called?
No, I was in an outlying town. It was about 10 miles
away. Oh, because you went early.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing.
Oh, wow.
Didn't Matt Belcher work on some of the consulting work for
Greensburg?
I think he
had something.
I thought he did.
Well, he brought in, because I went to a U.S. Green Building Council meeting. I think, before the Sustainable Disaster Conference that Daniel and Catherine came in and spoke
at.
And that was where I, it was at WashU.
It
was in the big auditorium in the art school.
Yeah.
But that was where I first learned about Greenstown. So when they came back for the Disaster Recovery Conference, so it was really impressive.
Yeah, because that was a pretty cool presentation they did to see all the everything they did in Greensburg.
And how timely is this with everything going on with our crazy weather? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I mean, we have to adapt to this. We don't have much choice.
Well, I was going to say, I just saw a headline the other day that talked about the Arctic is 36 degrees above normal right now. Obviously that's not necessarily going to be the case the entire winter, but they were noting how warm it was up there before winter has arrived. And obviously we're seeing warmth here in the St. Louis area yesterday and even today a little bit compared to the normal average temperatures.
So. Yeah, that changes tomorrow.
Changes tomorrow.
Fall is
right.
Here, finally.
You're right. Yeah, and if you look at the global data year to year, you're seeing that it's up there as far as the temperatures go. So you're right. There is something that we've got to adjust to and figure out, well, how are we going to make it work, but also how can we potentially improve the situation?
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely don't want it to keep going downhill.
At
least arresting
it
where it is would be a really good start.
Well, it's a dangerous path. I mean,
it is.
I was just out in North Central California, just on the border of Yosemite National Park, and took pictures. I can share them with you when we get a chance, but it was sad. It was sad to see trees that look like toothpicks. It was sad to see trees that haven't died yet, but are dying. You know, you got evergreens that are orange. Mm-hmm. And they're green. You've got lakes that are clearly well below where they should be. All because of the drought. And the tree thing is really, it's kind of a triple whammy. There's a drought, okay? And the drought exacerbates wildfires.
Yeah.
But it also weakens the trees to where they become more susceptible to the pine bark beetle. And the pine bark beetle's eating these trees in place.
Yeah.
So it's very evident when you're out there that this isn't right.
It's so, all the consequences.
It is. Mm-hmm. One thing that we really strive for here on the Green Gab podcast is we want people to recognize what's going on. We want to help you have that information. We don't want you to think we're all gloom and doom.
Right.
That we all have a piece to serve. And we want to help people understand what some of those actions are and encourage people, inspire people to take action. However, sometimes we need to stare the truth in the face, as ugly as it may be, or as hard as it may be, that's important because you can't always take action until you understand that you need to take action. And that's what calls us to action. That was a lot of actions in one sentence.
But along those lines, and the other kind of silver lining of this is that there are a lot of people out there who are taking action,
right,
that are doing good things, that are smart people working on these problems. And it can be overwhelming for the everyday homeowner. Or just the everyday person to be like, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, it's not that you shouldn't do anything, but take solace in knowing there are people out there who are trying to work on solutions.
And every drop adds up. This is what I keep telling people, do the little things. I mean, if it's as simple as turning the water off while you're brushing your teeth, do it. What does it cost you?
That's a central theme of
the whole
podcast. An
extra 2 muscle movements. Yeah. I mean, come on, people. We all need more exercise. We'll do the handle turn off exercise every morning, right?
Well, little steps add up. And if you get enough people doing little steps, that equates a big step.
Yeah, the multiplier effect is very real. Mm-hmm.
So water efficiency is something I know is near and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. It's something you've been very involved with. So I know it must have been really heartbreaking for you to see the effects of the drought.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to see pictures of it or have people tell you about it. It's another thing to see it with your own eyes.
Well, it's like I was in Oklahoma City last year or the year before, and Lake Hefner is the main source of drinking water. It's also a recreational lake for sailing and kite sailing, I guess they call it. No motorized transportation. But there had been a bad drought in Oklahoma City, and it was so dry that you could walk across large portions of Lake Hefner.
Oh, wow.
And there were mud puddles, and all the sailboats were sitting in the mud. And the crazy thing was, it refilled in a month. So we went from one extreme to the other. And they still, I don't know, I'm just now getting the lay of the land and the lay of the water in Oklahoma City. But I don't see any real efforts towards conserving enough so that doesn't happen again. And it's kind of scary. I mean, that lake is so vital to that population, and it was down to mud puddles.
Right. You know, it's interesting listening to both of your experiences. It makes you realize how insulated from this we are in St. Louis. knowing that we have just an abundance of water.
Yeah.
You know, you go from one extreme to the other. You know, you're walking into California seeing the effects of a drought. Now, we've heard through news reports that they've been battling drought for years. We know it's there. And then we all just walk around going, like, today, you know, it's starting to rain again. Water is just so important to everybody. And it's unfortunate that you can't take all the excess of one region and send it somewhere else to balance it out.
Well, I'm sure there's people thinking about it, but you hit a good point there.
Yeah.
Well, you hit a good point, though, and that is, I think, to some degree, people get numb.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, they get numb to, oh, it's their problem, oh, no, it's another wildfire else in California. And what's really fascinating, for those of you listening to this, if you search for the drought monitor, and it's done by the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, they do a map of the U.S., and it's updated every week.
Mm.
And I pull that map down every time I'm going to give a presentation somewhere.
Right.
And the one that I remember was from about a month ago. No more than a month ago.
Wow.
There was at least D0, meaning abnormally dry, and it goes from D0 to D5 as the severity of drought. At least a D0 in 48 of the 50 states.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. This is not a California thing.
And I'm guessing we were normal? Were we dry?
I wish I could remember the two states that were fine. But
believe it or not,
Illinois
talking.
And Missouri both had D0 in the state somewhere.
Well, I could believe that, especially to the west of the state. Mm-hmm.
The rivers are down here, though. When I drove in town, the rivers are down.
I know they're down here, but in St. Louis, we don't feel the effect because we have the confluence right there with both. We are, when it comes to being numb about water, we are the numbest place probably in the United States when it comes to water.
Okay.
Only because we have that right there.
So hold that thought. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and dive in a little bit more. Ha ha.
That was bad.
Nice.
Couldn't help it.
"24 Legacy" features all of the hallmarks of the classic 24 on Fox. The only thing missing? You! Check out 24LegacyFans.com now and jump into the best discussions about 24 Legacy. Log on to 24LegacyFans.com. That's 24LegacyFans.com, an official partner of the 24Podcast.com effort.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Everyone knows what identity theft is, right? Well, maybe not. Learn more by listening at scammercast.com.
Oh boy, are we gabbing today on the Green Gab.
Well, it's all about water efficiency.
I know, we're getting really excited
here.
In here.
We talk a lot about water.
Water's a big deal.
Most precious resource.
Probably got the fewest points out of all the sections on the Green Home Certification Program.
But it's one of the most important things in the world.
I think that's part of the reason why there's not as many points. It's just kind of like, you got to do it.
Yeah, it's just expected.
You got to do it.
It's expected.
And I've used this line in some presentations before. We want energy, but we need water.
That's a great point. That's a great way to explain it.
Wow. Okay.
We want energy. Okay. But we've proven, granted, it's been a long time ago, we've proven we can live without energy.
Yeah. Can't live without water.
You can't live without water.
Nope.
That is such an impactful statement.
But you're right. The influence or the importance is really inverted.
Maybe because we're so scared that we need it that we don't face it very well.
Well, what I've always found interesting were in a lot of my studies, when you really look at the facts of how much water is available for drinking and all that on a daily basis, it's like 0.0001% of 1%. Of all the available water is drinkable in any given time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing when you think of it.
I believe that's kind of hard for our little brains to process.
It
because
is.
70% of the earth is covered with water, but it's just not usable water.
And barely a drop of it's ready to drink.
Right. And we're impacting that water too, because the oceans have changed.
Yep.
And I think the other thing too is ROI. Okay. You save on your energy bill and it's, you know,
money in your pocket.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
You save on your water bill, and because we subsidize water and water is so inexpensive, the return isn't the same, and the return isn't commensurate, and the return is something that people go, great, I saved $5 a month.
Right.
Woo.
I've always said, if you want to live in the desert, you should actually have to pay the actual cost of the water.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, the Shelton Group actually posted like a synopsis of one of their recent reports on water efficiency and water conservation. And one of the tips in the report was, don't talk about water in terms of dollar savings. Talk about it in gallons saved, because there's just not an economic impetus for us to save water. The fact that we need water is a more important driver.
Yeah.
It's very hard to make the dollars work just on your bill.
Yeah.
The Circle of Blue is an organization that has got a great map that talks about different combined rates around the country. And when I say combined rates, I'm talking about water, sewer, and stormwater.
Okay.
And they've been able to show, hey, in some places, it can get pretty expensive. Seattle, Santa Fe, those are two places that stick out in my head that are really expensive when it comes to those combined rates. But by and large, the ROI is very tough to make on the monthly water bill. But there is a place where it can be much greater and have a much greater impact, and that is on the tap fees.
Oh.
Mm.
So for new construction, okay, there are some instances where you can save quite a bit if you can show that you're going to use less water, you can qualify for a lower tap fee.
Oh, so, wow. Something I'd never really thought of.
Yeah.
So what's your role in all this, besides being an adamant supporter?
So my organization, back in February of 2014, we were approached by representatives from the Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association about providing technical assistance and computer programming for a water rating. They recognized in late 2013 that their industry was actually in a level of peril, because they determined, if we can't prove that there's going to be enough water to do a new development, we may not get permits to build those developments.
Well, that's interesting.
And if there's no permits, there's no industry.
Right.
We can't build anymore and we lose all our jobs. So they had to kind of start to brainstorm, how are we going to do this? And they looked to the energy world. So wait a minute, there are energy ratings out there. Why isn't there a water rating? Why isn't there a performance-based approach to water efficiency?
Okay.
Because previously, everything was prescriptive. Water Sense for Homes,
right.
Florida Water Star, Southern Nevada Water Authority, they all have great programs, but they're all prescriptive. Yes, no, pass, fail, black, white.
Here's your list.
Right. And so there was nothing that said, just get to this level of efficiency. I don't care how you do it. Just get there.
So much like the energy performance rating with home energy.
Just like hers.
Rating system.
Just like energy score, home energy score.
Right.
You know.
It's so, like doing a blower door test for water.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we got involved at that point, February 2014, and we've been working on it ever since. We've had a development group of between 12 and 15 people. You know, we haven't kept all the same people for that over two and a half years, but we meet almost weekly on the phone to develop this thing. And it has taken that long because it's very complex when you take into consideration, it's not just the indoor, it's the outdoor. And there's so much that goes into the outdoor, from types of plants and from ground cover to trees to grass that you have outside. Are you capturing rainwater or not? And how are you doing that? What kind of soil types do you have?
Right.
It goes on and on, the complexity of the outdoor portion. And that's what's taken us so long to develop this. But we do actually have something that it's never going to be finished, just like anything. Okay,
right.
A website's never finished. A computer program's never finished.
You just take a pause.
A lot of addendums.
Right. You just keep making it better, making more refinements. But we do actually have something now that is in the code in the city of Santa Fe.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Okay.
It got in there about 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, you just did this. Wow.
Yeah, this was just about 3 weeks ago that it got into the residential green building code out there. And so they were the first ones to do it. Santa Fe County is also looking to add something to their code as well. We have other opportunities, but we also have other examples of where our program, which is called WERS, which is Water Efficiency Rating Score, it's being cited in the rules of compliance for a state tax credit in New Mexico. And it's also being transitioned to be the water criteria for Green Star, which is an Upper Midwest green building program. So these are real life examples of where it is already in use. And then there's a whole bunch of things that I'm continuing to work on to try and expand this program even farther.
So this program, is it only for new construction?
No, it's for new or existing, for single family, multifamily, and it does have the capabilities to do hospitality, which means hotels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So if you were an existing homeowner that wanted to improve your water efficiency rating score, right, what would you do?
So there are some basic simple things, whether it's low flow faucets, ultra high efficiency toilets, low flow shower heads, or simply adding aerators to some of these things. Mm-hmm. On the outdoor side, that's really where you get the bigger gains, is on the outdoor.
No irrigation.
Irrigation, yeah.
We didn't put in irrigation.
I kind of make fun of the Midwest when I go and speak at different groups. I say, we do a great job, and I have a great slide that shows, we do a great job of macro spray irrigation here in the Midwest. And it's a picture of irrigation in front of my daughter's school. It's a real life example. But in places where water is much more scarce, they're looking at things like micro spray, drip irrigation.
Drip irrigation, yeah. That's a huge one. We studied that in school.
Right, and it's much more effective.
Yeah.
And so
puts it right where you need it.
Yes, so you can make changes to your irrigation system. You can collect rainwater and then reuse it for outdoor purposes, because most codes, at least in the St. Louis area, won't let you bring it inside the house.
Right.
So you have to reuse it for irrigation, but even still, that's a lot of water you can offset.
Yeah, water your plants. And that's what we're doing. We're going to bring in rain barrels in the spring and put them for our garden.
Yeah, in reality, here in St. Louis, if you can harvest rainwater, you should never have to turn on your water to water anything on your lawn.
Unless you have copious gardens.
Right, right.
You're growing lots of vegetables and things like that. But you're right, Tony. It's something where you can certainly offset a large portion of your water usage by simply using rainwater, and it's actually better for the plants.
Oh, tons better. Well, it doesn't have all the added chemicals that we put in our drinking water to keep it safe.
No fluoride?
No fluoride, no chlorine, what it picks up through the atmosphere. But the other thing that I assume is probably in the rating score is using native plants, because they're already acclimated for the environment that they're in, the region, so they don't need a lot of extra water, they don't need chemicals, they don't need a lot of interference from us because they're natives. So that's a big step that a lot of folks are starting to realize, that they can integrate into their garden so that it's still beautiful and attracts the kind of wildlife they want to attract, and it doesn't need water.
Right. Yeah, no, the WERS verifier will analyze the entire outdoor portion of the property. So they're looking at all the different hydrozones, all the different things that are growing out there, but also like pervious pavement or impervious pavement, or do you have a pool out there? They are writing down everything and being able to quantify that. And then also, how are you irrigating or not irrigating that area?
I'd love to run my house through it, because we're really starting. We moved into a spec house. And we're Oklahoma City's, it doesn't get a lot of rain.
Right.
Well, drier than where you were at.
I didn't see what color they were in the drought. We did pull up the drought map because we were curious what it looked like. And we found, what, 5 states right now that did not have...
It was Washington, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Those were the 4 states that didn't have a color.
So let's see. Oklahoma City is a D0, abnormally dry. And then just a little bit further out to the south and east, well, actually kind of the eastern swath of Oklahoma, goes into D1 and D2. So it's happening. And that's kind of funny. You would think the western part of Oklahoma would be the drier part that's in drought.
Well, one of the things that we talk about when we talk about WERS, you can't manage what you don't measure.
Right.
And whether it's measurement through WERS or it's the great work that University of Nebraska-Lincoln is doing on the drought monitor, until you go out there and measure it, you're not for sure. You have ideas, but you don't have that confirmation.
Now you know.
And to be able to look at a map like that, or be able to look at a WERS report, that gives you a much greater sense of understanding of what's going on here.
Yeah. And this huge drought in the southeast.
That's the one that caught me off guard.
Yeah. And look, Tony, there's even drought areas just north of St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
We think that's crazy. So just rolling in the water, and it's happening right here in our own backyard, both of our backyards. So if you want to go look at this yourself, folks, it's droughtmonitor.unl.edu. So that's University of Nebraska-Lincoln is the UNL.edu. We'll put it on podcast notes too. Hang tight. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk a little bit more.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the Blogger's Bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the Blogger's Bug. bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
S.H.I.E.L.D. was introduced in 1965 in an edition of Strange Tales featuring Nick Fury. It was billed inside comic books as the greatest action thriller of all time. And it's safe to say that secret acronymed International Intelligence Collection endeavors would never be the same. Another, even greater, episodic series is ready to take the greatest action thriller of all time mantle. And we hope you'll be listening. Don't miss the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, reviewing each and every episode of ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bullet point by bullet point. Check it all out right now at agentsofshieldpodcast.com. That's agentsofshieldpodcast.com.
Gavin Water with Mike Calignon of Green Builder Coalition today. And oh my gosh, you are just sharing things. Tony and I think we stay in the know, and we're both just aghast at some of the detail of the information that is really easily available about what is going on with water across the United States.
Yeah, and water is one of my favorite topics to talk about, so I could do this forever.
Uh-oh.
I know. We do have time constraints.
It is a very important topic. It's one, I think, certainly in the Midwest, just it gets overlooked. You know, I think people think it's a California problem,
right,
or it's a Southwest problem. But when you see short segments on the Weather Channel talking about the drought up in Connecticut and how it's affecting the grape growers, the winemakers there, or you look at how bad it is down the Southeast, you start to get a sense of, hey, maybe this isn't just a California problem, and it is a bigger problem than that.
So this is what's shocking. So looking at this map, areas that are in extreme or exceptional drought in the Southeast United States include Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and it doesn't look like it goes into Kentucky, but Kentucky goes into a moderate drought, and almost all of Kentucky. And that's like the land of lakes.
Yeah, there's water all over the place when you think of the river systems, lakes, and everything else down there.
Right.
So there's more drought in the Southeast right now, and it's been persistent because they've been in and out of drought for the past, 10 or 15 years? I mean, it kind of eases up for a while, and then it gets bad again, I know.
Well, and you talked about the Oklahoma City example where the lake went down and it went back up, okay? Those kind of instances, I think, give people a sense of false hope. Or a false security.
Not having to manage it.
Yeah. You know, it fixed itself.
It took care of itself. Yeah. Got it.
And we're even seeing that in parts of California where they got a little bit more rain and they're starting to figure out, you know, how to put in more reservoirs. And, I think we got this figured out. And it's like, not really, because if the snowpack this coming winter isn't very good and the melt afterwards isn't very good, then you're right back where you were or worse. And people do grumble about the mandate that Governor Brown put out there about, okay, we're going to conserve water, and depending upon the community you're in, it was anywhere from 20 to 30% that you had to cut water usage. People grumble, man, this is not, you know, this is another
restraint.
Big, government overreach.
Heavy-handed, right, yeah. Heavy-handed government mandate. Well, what's the alternative, though? Is the alternative that we start running out of water, or we do like what they're doing down in San Diego, which is putting in a desalination plant, where the joke on that is you can go buy certain types of champagne for less than you'll buy the water out of the desal plant.
Right. Oh, they're expensive.
Right.
The amount of energy they use is ridiculous.
There's that too. So it's...
But we may have to figure that out.
Well, what's the choice that you want? You know, I used to be really good at math. And I still occasionally fall into that mindset of I'm going to look at it from a math perspective. Okay. So you have the total amount of fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have total population of things that consume water, not total population of people. Okay. Because animals need the water too.
Animals, yep.
Plants right. need water too. So you have these two numbers. Okay. One number keeps going up and up and up and up. And the other number doesn't change. Okay. It's a cycle.
We just keep adding more stress to the system.
Dinosaurs used. So it comes down to a math problem. We either get more serious about water efficiency and water conservation, or we get to have the fun conversation of population control.
Right.
And nobody wants to talk about that. So let's go back and talk about water efficiency and water conservation.
Well, you know, and this all ties into the, you know, I keep arguing that in 50 years, water is what saves St. Louis. Because people will eventually, I believe, move businesses and homes and families to where the water is. But then we'll have to deal with that problem later on. So it is always a self-fulfilling prophecy where you have to deal with it no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem you can't really get away from.
Well, and our rivers that come through here aren't just ours. They go through, the Mississippi River and its system is humongous. Mm-hmm. It covers almost 2/3 of the United States.
Well, and think about it.
It's huge.
The Mississippi River is also a big transportation river. That's really what keeps it from having a lot of new water plants put onto it because they have to keep it at certain levels. Otherwise, it stops commerce.
Yeah, it's a huge economic engine. And there's one other thing, and it is a very deep topic that we could fill hours of a podcast with. And also, you'd have to find somebody smarter than me to talk about it. But the topic of water rights.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay.
How many times do we hear that, especially on the Missouri Basin, where all the different states are always fighting over who owns the water?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So your topic about, you know, the river isn't just ours.
Yeah.
That whole topic of water rights, the farther west you go in the U.S., the more that becomes important. And here, we kind of are in that happy spot where we don't really have to deal with that.
Right.
But you start going west of the Mississippi, you start to deal with a lot of it. Yeah.
Well, that was why they... I don't remember what the final outcome was, but the whole deal with rain barrels in Colorado, because it was illegal to collect the rainwater off your roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's all because of the water rights.
It was. It was, you know, the water that you're going to siphon off into that rain barrel is going to take away from the water that I have a right to. But the governor did allow.
Thank goodness.
Yes, right.
Okay, so that did get changed.
It did get changed. Yeah. I think it was back in May.
No, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, you can have 2 55-gallon rain barrels on your property. So 110 gallons is what you can store.
It's kind of like mineral rights.
Yeah.
Just because you own the physical property, depending on how the laws are written in that area, you may or may not own the rights to things that
are under
or above that property. What was the movie where it was the air rights? Oh my gosh, but it was the space above a building so they could preserve the line of sight and the view. And they called it the air rights. But again, it makes you think about all these things. It can get really complicated and, you know, it can be very challenging or very exciting, depending on your point of view.
Well, and there are lawyers who focus solely on water rights.
Yeah.
I had one present ahead of me at a stormwater conference a couple of years ago. The room was packed.
Oh, I bet.
For her presentation. It was down in Austin, Texas, and there were probably 80 people in this little room.
Oh, no.
They wanted to hear her talk about water rights. It's huge. It really is a big issue.
Wow.
We might not think it's exploding now here in St. Louis, but it is, and it's such an important topic. Where is it going to be in 20 or 30 years? That's the question. I mean, this thing is something that you're not going to actually just put a lid on. It's going to get more important and more important as it goes.
Yeah.
There was a really interesting article that was just published very recently in the Miami Herald, and it basically asked the question of, will Florida have enough water in 2070?
That's a great question.
When you throw out a year that far in advance, I think it's hard for people to say, oh, well, that's, you know,
that's so far ahead.
It's not my problem. I'm not going to have to deal with that.
Right.
So I'm not a big fan of throwing years that far in advance or that big of a time frame. But it's still a question that needs to be addressed of, is there going to be enough water by, you know, pick a closer year. But that's the thing you've got to really be thinking out. And you've got municipal planners who are thinking about this. You've got water districts and water agencies that are thinking about this. Land use departments are thinking about this, and that all comes down and affects builders, architects, and then that ultimately affects home buyers and homeowners.
Yep, it does.
It's amazing how it's all connected.
It is, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think homeowners and home buyers And even builders and architects to some degree, basically the listeners of this podcast, sometimes can feel like they're not necessarily a part of that process because mm-hmm. it's happening at a municipal level or it's happening at a state level and these government employees are dealing with it and I'm not maybe involved with those meetings. Well, nothing's stopping you from calling your city hall, your town hall, village hall, and just inquiring, hey, are there public meetings being held on the city's plan? Or is there a sustainability plan? Do you have a climate action plan? What do we have here? And start to get involved from a grassroots level.
Well, and I think so many people think when they hear the word sustainability that it's just all about the environmental factors. And the real meaning of sustainability means long lasting, that it perseveres. So mm-hmm. we all want a sustainability plan because we all want to persevere. We all want to have what we need in the future. And it's like an investment, in a monetary investment. You save up for the future. Well, same thing.
Well, in reality, you want your family to be sustainable.
Yes, yes.
You want that family line to be sustainable. You yeah. want to make sure that whoever comes after me, they can sustain the same type of living that I was accustomed to.
So there's our legacy.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. It's a legacy.
Yeah, legacy is a great word because, and I've used this in a few of my presentations, and I mean it genuinely. The work that I'm doing, I don't expect to see the benefit.
No.
It's for my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm
it's for
so
their
with
kids
you there.
That's what I am striving for is a better place for them, not me. I won't see it. I know that. And yeah. that's okay.
Yeah.
I've accepted that and now I'm working for them.
We had one of our other podcast guests who had written a book and that was why she wrote it. She said, I want my children to know that this was what I can do.
Right.
And I want our children to have better opportunities than we do. And that means we have to work yep. on these issues now. So thank you for working on this issue now. We are happy to have it.
I'm just one.
I know.
Like I said, I've got a development group of 12 to 15, all of them smarter than me, that have been working just as hard as me. I'm just the guy who gets to go around and talk about it.
Hey, that's
you
important
have the fun
too.
Job. You have the fun job.
So in the last few minutes that we have, what are some things that, some resources that homeowners can find? From perhaps things that you've used and things with WERS.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some simple things people can, we talked about a few things people can do. And maybe what's your number one, two, or three that they could maybe think about getting started with?
Right. So we did talk about it a little bit earlier, but we can expand upon that. So for me, it's either aerators or low flow shower heads and faucets. The ultra high efficiency toilets are actually better performing than the standard yeah. toilets you get.
We have a couple podcasts on toilets, basically.
Plumbing.
Okay. One of our friends is in the plumbing industry, and it ran into so much material, it's probably going to be two episodes.
And there's great options. I know so many people think back to the 90s when things didn't flush right. well, and the water pressure wasn't great in a low-flow shower. Folks, give it a shot. The technology is great yeah. right now, and it works really well.
Yeah. Technology is not just in electronics.
It isn't. It isn't. So
right.
So applaud that.
You've got some of those simple things on the indoor. Again, on the outside, if you can capture rainwater somehow, that would be great. Probably the best website to go to is the EPA WaterSense website. They've okay. got a lot of information there. I think people are very familiar with the WaterSense label.
Mm-hmm.
Dishwashers, clothes washers, various fixtures in their house. So certainly I would look in that direction. If you have an irrigation system, get a smart controller.
Yes.
Get a smart controller.
Yes.
That's a big difference. And they are EPA WaterSense labeled. So look for those. If you've got interest and you're looking to do something more and you want to, quite frankly, be able to show, hey, this is how my property is. You want to show off to your friends, your neighbors, your family. Yeah, the WERS program is there for you. And you can go to www.wers, that's WERS.us, and you can read more about it. You can get a hold of me through that site as well. If you're in Florida, there's the state program, the Florida Water Star program. If you're in Southern Nevada, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has a program. Again, those are prescriptive, pass-fail, but they're still good programs. And WaterSense for Homes is also a good program to use.
We'll put all those up on the podcast mm-hmm. notes so folks can just link out to them real easily. I'd love to get a hold of the WERS program and see how my house shapes up. So
yeah, we are working on not just a tool for the verifiers
okay.
to do the analysis, but we're also working on a design tool
okay.
that builders and architects, landscape architects can play around with and basically do the what if game.
Right.
You know, what
cool.
if I change this out? What's the effect? Because our report does show gallons saved. It's projected gallons saved daily, monthly, and yearly.
Nice.
And if you put in your billing rates, now you can see the money that you save daily, monthly, cool. and yearly as well.
And that's important, because if you can get them to buy into it by able to manipulate some kind of a worksheet, it'll be more ingrained in their minds.
We've also got a couple of partnerships with a couple of product manufacturers to where if you're going for a WERS certification for your project, you can qualify for discounts on products anywhere from 45% off on Evolve Technologies TSVs, which is thermostatic shutoff valve and showerheads, or EcoV has got a gray water and a rainwater system, and you can get 20% off of each of those.
Nice.
Cool.
So it's some fairly significant savings you can experience.
Okay, so we're going to have a resource-packed page.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we're trying to expand that partnership program even further. I've got three organizations that are in various stages of working out the agreements. So
sweet.
We're looking to expand even farther to make that ROI even greater. It's not just the bill.
You know, and there's an ROI in the feel good, and then there's an ROI in your pocket. So it goes both ways. And the water doesn't go away. I mean, it has driven the development of our civilized world, and it will continue to. So,
and we need it.
We all can do our part. I love that. Yep. We need it.
We need it.
Definitely do. Hey, check out more on the podcast notes. And Mike, thank you so very much for being here.
Well, thanks for the invite.
That was a fun conversation.
I know. It was very informative, and I love it when it's fun and informative.
Absolutely. Makes it worthwhile.
There you go. Well, hey, we're signing out today on the Green Gab Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal Green Odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.